say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave, you know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die.
Oh yeah, a little bit of Buddy Holly for you. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works. That'll wake you up in the morning. My name is Paul Malloy. I hope I'm waking you up, or at least keeping you awake. And along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on Freedom Works this morning. It is Friday, June the 7th, the day after D-Day. Hope you were appropriately celebrating that day in memory of our brave troops that landed on the beaches of Normandy, World War II. In a few minutes, we will be talking with Salim Firth of the Mercatus Center, and we're going to talk about affordable housing, a top issue for Gen Zers in the November election. In fact, it might be their number one issue. So stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And while his son's gun trial enters day five this morning in Delaware, Joe Biden says there will be no pardon for his dear son, Hunter, if Hunter is found guilty. And Joe says he will accept the verdict. So we're going to be talking about that. Stay tuned for that as well. And listen to this. An Idaho bar owner says that he is absolutely amazed at the response to the kickoff of what he calls his Heterosexual Awesomeness Month. Heterosexual Awesomeness Month. We are going to tell you all about it, so stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we've been talking about traffic last several top 10s. No difference today. The top 10 most dangerous metro areas for pedestrians. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works. We are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They are now open for the summer. New hours, Tuesdays through Fridays, 9 to 6 p.m. Great haircut, great price. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And don't forget Arbor Life Tree Service. Whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, you name it, Arbor Life, Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Call Arbor Life today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, as per usual, at the beginning of a new month, we get the unemployment statistics of the job report for the old month. U.S. job growth accelerated, apparently, in May, which defied expectations for a slowdown, even as the unemployment rate went up to the highest level in more than 2 years. That's a little bit disturbing. Apparently, I say apparently because these numbers change. The deeper you get into the month before, numbers will change a little bit. But right now, employers apparently added 272,000 jobs in May, according to the Labor Department. That tops the 185,000 that they forecast. But the unemployment rate unexpectedly inched higher. It went up to 4%. Now, that is a new and higher number. That's against expectations that it would stay around 3.9. So this marks the highest level for jobless rates since January of 2022. Way strong last month, with average hourly earnings rising about 0.4% more than expected. On an annual basis, wages went up 4.1% in the month of May. So markets have been closely watching the report for any kind of sign that the labor market is finally softening after some solid job gains for the last several months. And what will the Fed do? Will they start thinking about cutting interest rates? They are very, averse to doing it when you get close to an election because they don't want to be political. If you lower interest rates just before an election, they go, aha, see, the Fed likes who's currently the president, lower interest rates, so everybody will be happier. So we'll see where that goes. So anyway, that's kind of interesting. In the meantime, where's Joe Biden? He went over to Europe. Yes, he did. He went over to Mark D-Day. And while he was there, he apologized to the president of Ukraine, publicly apologized to Ukraine for a months-long congressional holdup in American military assistance in Ukraine's fight against Russia. This apology came as Biden met in Paris with Vladimir Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, who has been appealing for bipartisan U.S. support going forward. Quote, like it was during World War II. A day earlier, Biden and Zelensky had attended the D-Day ceremonies, those ceremonies marking the 80th anniversary of the landing in Normandy, where Biden had drawn common cause between the Allied forces that helped free Europe from the Nazis and today's effort to support Ukraine against Russia's invasion of their dear country. So here's what Biden said. I apologize for those weeks of not knowing what's going to happen in terms of funding. You know, I don't know. That doesn't sound... Don't apologize. You know what? We're saving a lot of countries' bacon. We saved a lot of countries' bacon when we landed at Normandy. You know, we've been saving the world for a long time. This apology tour kind of thing, because he's not really apologizing. What he's trying to do is to blame Republicans for holdup in the spending. That's what he's really trying to do. He carries his politics over to the other side of the pond. I don't like that.
Only Joe Biden can make it sound like we're late with the rent.
Yes. I mean, come on. Come on, man. As he would say, come on, man. I think it's crazy. Meantime, you'll get a kick out of this, Ed. Biden said yesterday he ain't going to pardon Hunter, even if he's found guilty in his gun trial in Delaware. In an interview on ABC, he was asked whether he would accept the results of the federal trial. One-word answer was yes. When asked whether he would rule out pardoning Hunter, one-word answer was yes. Well, I'll say one thing about him. He's succinct.
Maybe you got the questions confused. You know.
Could be.
Will you accept the verdict? No. Will you pardon him? Yes. Maybe on the card they were wrong.
Could be. But he said yes to both questions. He also doubled down on his stance following the conviction of Trump in the New York trial over falsifying business records, supposedly. Biden said he's trying to undermine it. He's got a fair trial. The jury spoke. Yeah. I still can't. If you took people off the street and said, now tell me exactly what was Trump found guilty of, I tell you what, 8 out of 10 wouldn't be able to verbalize what he was found guilty of. That's
you know, he had an interview with Dr. Phil last night.
Yes, he did.
I saw that.
Tell me, by the way, folks, I want you to know, speaking of Dr. Phil, guess who many years ago was on Dr. Phil's program? It was Big Ed. Go ahead, Ed, anyway.
Got right to the important questions. Will you, you know, when you get, if you would get back in, will there be revenge? And Dr. Phil basically analyzed him and broke it down in a way that the other media did not. In other words, he was interviewing, he wasn't going after him.
Yes.
So, I probably the best interview I've ever seen.
Really?
As far as it goes, yeah. Because Trump was completely open with him. He talked about his family, how much it's hurt his family, what he's going through. And, like I said, the fact that he wants to, how did he put it, he wants to have the country succeed. You know, that would be his revenge.
Yes. He did a similar discussion. Oh, I can't say similar, but he did the discussion recently with Sean Hannity again. Mm-hmm. And he did talk about the fact that he was not seeking revenge.
No.
Success will be his revenge.
Right.
The country's success. I think it's a great answer. It really is. Okay, let's take our break. When we come back, Celine Firth is going to join us from the Mercatus Center. We're going to talk about Gen Zers.
and how affordable housing might be the top issue for them in the November election.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
For years, we've been telling you that Andrew's Master Barbershop is the premier men's barbershop in Tampa Bay. Tops in great haircuts, tops in price. Well, now that it's summertime, Andrew and the gang have brand new hours. They're now open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6 p.m. Again, that's Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6. So give them a try, men. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street. Call first for your appointment, guys. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. It's Friday. Yeah. And we're delighted to have Salim Firth join us. Salim is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center. He is also director of the Urbanity Project there on the campus of George Mason University. We are going to talk with Salim about this new survey that shows that the top issue for Generation Z is housing affordability in the upcoming presidential election. Salim, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, great to be here.
Our pleasure to have you, sir. So I found this to be very interesting and in a way very scary and depressing for Gen Z people. Housing affordability, the ability to actually purchase a home. You know, this was something that when you got to a certain age, you know, generation after generation, hopefully you got married and you got your first house after maybe a year or two, and away you went, and you were on your way to your life. But now that does not seem to be the case. Tell us a little bit, first of all, about what is going on when it comes to affordability for housing, not only for Gen Z, but for anybody that's looking to buy these days.
Yeah, it's, you know, the prices are the same for everyone. The difference is if you're, you know, 40 or 60, you probably have a place already. It's a Gen Z. These are folks, I think, under 29, 28 years old in that survey. And all the rungs of the ladder are slippery right now. So they want to move out of their parents' house, but getting an apartment, you know, that's pretty expensive in the cities where the jobs are. And it's real hard to meet somebody and get married when you're sharing a house with six other guys. And so, you know, you're struggling with that first step of family formation. And then, well, if you are lucky enough to have found somebody, gotten married, and you're able to, you know, two incomes, you can afford that apartment. Well, now you can't buy the house so that you can have kids because we're not building enough houses. And we've got a real problem where we have local governments that say, well, maybe you can build housing here, but we're going to put you through an 18-month process. And whoever lives near the project, they come out and they say, I don't like it. And so everybody wants affordable housing, but nobody wants it in their backyard. And we have to face up to that, that the houses have to go somewhere.
Yes, indeed. And I think you say this, you say voters of all ages would be well served by tuning into state and local elections. State and local elections, where policymakers can best remedy their zoning mistakes and work to incentivize new construction. Yeah, I mean, no matter which president we get, not going to change the affordability of housing for a while, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, the federal government, you have the Fed changing interest rates. We say, well, we should lower interest rates to make housing, you know, mortgages more affordable. Well, that's great, but that's how you get the inflation again. So it kind of, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul there. The real action is in your local zoning board. And, you know, that's unintuitive to folks who want to, you know, track everything that Biden and Trump are doing and get, you know, really engaged in national politics. You can't make much of a difference there, but you can make a big difference at your you know, town meeting, your city council, saying, hey, I'm in favor of this new subdivision. I'd like my kid to have somewhere to live.
Indeed. You penned a piece along with a couple of your colleagues at the Mercatus Center, Housing Reform in the States, A Menu of Options for 2024. And you say in there that legislatures across the country have begun to rein in local regulatory powers with bills aimed at loosening zoning. So does that mean that there's some hope on the horizon?
Yeah, I hope so. So, in Florida, one of the biggest laws we saw Governor DeSantis sign that made it easier to build apartment buildings in commercial zones, right? So instead of saying every time you want to build an apartment building, you've got to go beg the city or the county to rezone for you, this says under certain conditions, if you have a commercial piece of land, you can just automatically build an apartment building there up to certain parameters. Not perfect, but that's a really good step forward, and that's going to help sort of put that middle rung on the ladder for young Floridians.
Mm-hmm. Now, the cost of a home these days has just skyrocketed. We all know that. The interest rates, of course, have been going up as well. So it's a double whammy in most mm-hmm. of the country. Gen Zers, and again, those are what, the late 20s generation?
Yeah, it's late teens to late 20s.
Okay. They're just getting started. They don't have all kinds of money. It's very hard for them. I know when I was young, I actually was very fortunate. My father-in-law gave me a loan, which allowed me to go and, you know, put down my money for a down payment on our first home. I think it was $10,000. You know, today you'd laugh at that. You're going to have a hell of a lot more than that to be able to do to buy a house. But I really feel for these kids and the cost of apartments. You know, the leasing. It's tough. It's very, very tough. It's very, very scary. Is there any? I know there's hope, but is there more that is needed? I mean, how long is it going to take, do you think, if at all, for a Gen Zer to, you know, people of that age to be able to afford to purchase a home?
Well, I guess the good news is if those of us who are a little older, if we get the policies right now, then by the time a 22-year-old is 28 or 32 and really serious about buying that first home, they'll have time to get it built. It's maybe worse for the young 30-somethings. My brother, actually, is in this position. He's just continuing to rent, had his second kid. There's just nothing for sale.
Yeah.
And the prices, you know, when it is for sale, somebody comes in and bids, you know, 100 over asking, and there's just no hope. And, you know, we actually, you know, I think we on the right, we need to clean up in-house. I hope my mom's not listening, but she's a great example of this. She really, really wants my brother to be able to buy a house. But at the same time, she doesn't like it when new houses are built on her block. And we have to square that. We have to say, you know, there's an inconvenience to me of maybe seeing this the nice view that I enjoyed looking at from my window. Now there's houses there, and I don't like looking at that as much as I like the meadow or the trees.
So your fault.
We have to accept some of that. Go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But your philosophy is we just need more housing. The more housing that is built, this will help bring down the price because there's, you know, more to choose from. That there is not enough out there on the market right now, and that is keeping prices high. And that makes, you know, that makes good sense. So you're saying the incentive is we get the regulations, the local regulations, the zoning regulations to make it more attractive to for construction companies to come in and build single-family homes and condos and the like, correct?
That's right. It's supply and demand, and the market's really good at this. You know, Joe Biden was talking about giving $10,000 to every home buyer. Well, if you give one person $10,000, like your father-in-law with you, well, then that helps that one person. If you give everybody $10,000, guess what? The price of home goes up by $10,000. You know, this is how markets work.
Right.
And we can't subsidize our way out of it when ultimately it's a game of musical chairs.
Exactly. We're talking with Salim Firth. He is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center. He's done a study and put out a piece with a couple of his colleagues, Housing Reform in the States, a Menu of Options for 2024. So when Gen Zers go to vote in the federal elections in November, are they going to... Do you think it's going to make a difference? I mean, in terms of, let's say that Biden and Trump are the two choices. Is one preferred over the other when it comes to the possibility of making housing more attractive for their age group?
There's a lot of things that distinguish those two candidates, and honestly, there's very little they can do on housing. They can both talk about it, but I would encourage people to educate themselves on who's your state rep, your state senator, this kind of nobody that you've never heard of. Find out who they are, figure out what they support, and send them an email and say, hey, you know, I know that there's bigger issues like abortion or, you know, jobs in our area, but I really care about housing, and I'd love it if you did something to make it easier to build.
Sure. Sure.
And I think that's much more impactful than anything that's going to happen at the national level.
You talk about in your piece, you talk about something called the Montana Miracle.
Yeah.
Could you expand on that?
Sure. So Governor Jim Forte in Montana, he decided, hey, we're seeing all these people from California who are selling a $2 million house in California and then have all this money to spend, and they bid up the prices of housing in Montana. And he had two choices. One was he could complain about Californians, and the other was he could do something about getting housing built in his state, and he chose the second option. And he built a bipartisan coalition, which I think was really impressive, because technically you don't need Democrats to get anything done in Montana. There's enough Republicans. But he understood that for real durability and political success, you need to say, this is something we all care about. Everybody needs a place to live. Everybody actually cares about this. He got a task force together. They made some really ambitious suggestions. Most, but not all of those, made it through the legislature, and he signed those. And it's now much easier to create a subdivision, to take a property in a central business district in Montana and, you know, turn a kind of tired old store into, you know, a five-story apartment building. And that kind of change, it's going to take time, but that kind of change will allow there to be enough housing for native Montanans without just yelling at the Californians who, frankly, they have no way to keep them out anyway.
You know what I'm thinking about while you're talking about that, Salim? Some of the cities like Chicago or, you know, inner cities, Philadelphia, Detroit, perhaps their mayors wanting to attract people like Gen Zers back into their cities could try to do the Montana Miracle. Do you think that that would make sense?
So they have a different set of problems because they have the housing, but it's old, which is very different than having land and no housing. Montana has all this land, right?
Yes.
Detroit has, they would love it if you know, some 22-year-old wants to go and fix up a nasty old house in Detroit that's
unoccupied.
That's what
I mean.
Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so their problems are, can they contain the crime? Can they create school choice options?
Okay.
So that a middle-class person, black or white...
They have to make the environment more attractive for people to come in rather than just saying,
right,
hey, we're gonna open up this, that, and the other thing, you know, and come on back
in. It's open if you want to go in there under current conditions. And look, Chicago's great, and lots of parts of Philadelphia are great. There are really good urban neighborhoods in most cities. The places like the abandoned neighborhoods in Detroit, they need changes other than housing. The housing stock is there, and honestly, that's part of who's moving to Montana or Texas or Vegas is people who grew up in suburban Chicago and say, I don't really like these choices, and I'm going to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, very, very interesting piece. I suggest that people take a look at it. Mercatus Center. It's called Housing Reform in the States, a Menu of Options for 2024 by Salim and a couple of his colleagues. Thank you so very much for coming on, Salim. I look forward to talking with you again down the road.
Wonderful. Have a great day.
Yes, you too. All right, Salim Firth. We're going to take our break. And when we come back. An Idaho bar owner says he's absolutely amazed at the response to the kickoff of his heterosexual awesomeness month. We're going to tell you all about it.
Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. I love it, bet your bottom dollar you lose the blues in Chicago, Chicago, the town that Billy Sunday couldn't shut down.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
For years, we've been telling you that Andrew's Master Barbershop is the premier men's barbershop in Tampa Bay. Tops in great haircuts, tops in price. Well, now that it's summertime, Andrew and the gang have brand new hours. They're now open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6 p.m. Again, that's Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6. So give them a try, man. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street. Call first for your appointment, guys. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Friday, thank God it's Friday, right? So, we got a new poll. Another day, another poll. A new Fox News poll in Virginia, of Virginia registered voters, finds Joe Biden, Donald Trump in a tie. Yeah, in Virginia. This after Biden won Virginia by 10 points. 10 points 4 years ago. Now, right now, the poll shows both of them, each with 48%. Biden gets the backing from black voters, 73% of them, suburban women, 58% of them, college-educated voters, 56% of them. Now, while Biden leads among blacks, Biden won them by 81 points in 2020. Right now, it's 48 points, so that is down substantially. Trump support comes from white evangelical Christians, 80%, rural voters, 63%, voters without a college degree, 56%, and white voters overall in Virginia, 54%. No age gap. Voters under 30 and those 65 and over split their support of each candidate at 48% each. And independents, interestingly enough, are also torn in Virginia, 45% are going for Biden right now, and 43% for Trump. So knowing how Virginia was the last time around, that's good news for the Donald, is it not? You know, it's amazing. Donald Trump, as soon as that trial was over, boy, he's out there and about. You were talking to, he was on that Dr. Phil show, and he's been talking with Sean Hannity, and he's all over the place. He was doing a town hall the other day, I think, or unless that was Dr. Phil, I'm not sure. But he was doing a town hall and taking questions, you know. Guy's got tremendous, unlimited energy. Honest to God, he really does. Hey, speaking about people with energy, we got both of the Ceresi brothers. We've got our Eye in the Northern Sky, Angelo Ceresi, back. And we've got our master barber, Andrew Ceresi. Gentlemen, welcome back. So, Angelo, how you doing, buddy? What do you want to talk about?
Oh, whatever you were just talking about right now. The election.
Well, it's good news in Virginia. What do you think? Is there any chance in New York State? That's where you are.
I don't know. If he keeps coming back to New York State, downstate, and keep plugging like he did, hopefully there's something. I saw Lee Zeldin on Gutfeld last night, you know, and he's got to stay in the picture there. And I think with him being really out here in New York State, he might make a bit of a difference. You know, I think people are fed up in New York State with the way the crime is and everything. And the governor we got, she's pathetic.
Yeah. Yeah. Kathy Hochul. She's making a name for herself, but maybe not a positive name. Very interesting. Andrew the Master Barber, what say you?
Well, you know, I listened to your guests here a little bit. You guys were talking about affordable housing, right?
Yeah, so lead first.
Okay, now listen. We have no affordable housing, no affordable groceries, no affordable cars, no affordable medication, okay?
Yeah.
I got the simple answers to this. Now, you said you got a loan from your father-in-law for $10,000 50 years ago to buy a house, right?
Yes.
Well, that $10,000 today is probably $100,000.
Yes.
Buying power, okay?
Right.
Same thing with a car. $3,400 out the door in 1974, $34,000 out the door today.
Yes.
Now, you want to get the housing problem solved, the grocery problem and everything else solved. It's very simple. You got three corporations buying up the properties. In Florida, throughout the country, okay? A Canadian company owns 60,000 homes in Florida alone that they are now renting out to people and driving the rents up. Number one, you got to get rid of these monopolies. Number two, 90% of the building products you use today are produced out of oil, okay?
Yes.
Okay, you want to bring down the cost of building homes? Let's drill our own oil again. This is all caused by the Biden administration. This is causing this whole problem, Paul. It's a very simple solution. I'm sorry.
No, I appreciate that. That's very interesting, your talk about the Canadian company coming into Florida and taking control of so many homes. I was not aware of that. I'm sure you are correct about that. But when you talk about monopolies, I may have a little bit of a chat with you on that, because I'm all for large companies and these large companies being allowed to exist, whether it's large construction companies or whatever, because if you allow them to exist and you don't overregulate them, you'll actually get more competition against them with other companies coming in.
Well, Paul, the thing is, right now you got three main companies buying all these properties up, okay? And they have to be restricted. Otherwise, then the average person is not going to have the money to compete against them. I believe in the open market. Don't get me wrong.
I know you do. But how would you restrict three companies? What would you say to
them?
Hey,
you can only buy so many houses in an area, period. That is it.
Well, that's a local rule. That should not be some federal law.
Well, okay, then each state needs to get involved in it and say, you can only purchase so many homes. The company's got the big money to buy them. The little guy says, hey, man, they're bidding them up $100,000 more than it's worth so they can own this and get it back on rent in 10 years. We can't afford to do this. There's got to be some kind of a limitation on the big corporations.
Angelo, what say you about that?
I think Andy sounds more like a Democrat today.
I'm beginning to worry about you, Andrew.
No, I'm just looking at the solution to the problem.
Yeah,
Paul.
I know you are.
It's just very simple. I mean, but they've had laws for monopolies how many years ago in this country?
Yeah.
Weren't they formed in the 20s?
Yes, well, you're talking about antitrust, I think, to some extent. But monopolies, you've heard me talk about this, the Milton Friedman, the Nobel laureate, who I think was one of the greatest economists of all time. He said the only entity that can create a monopoly is the government, the federal government. In other words, if you allow these companies to prosper and multiply and everything else without too much restriction, you will get other companies that will come in and challenge them and come up with a better solution and a better product. And in the long run, it's the consumer that now has more choices. Whether when you come in and you say, okay, to company A, you've just been too successful, too many people are buying your houses, and you know, other companies need to be able to get their house, so we're gonna limit you, you know. But in the long run, you're stifling you know, by sending, creating those kinds of
laws.
Well,
then, Paul, then they got to drill in this country because you want to bring the price of housing down.
Yes.
Okay, the products are up 90% because of oil.
Absolutely right. Yeah,
you want to bring this, you want to bring the housing market down where people can afford it and compete even with the corporations, you got to drill, baby, drill.
I agree with that 110%. I think most of us do. You know, it's absolutely amazing. The more we know about petroleum and what petroleum is connected to, the more we want drill, baby, drill. And this is something that Donald Trump is talking about, as you know. And he's back out unleashed as he is. He's been out on the campaign trail. He's doing well in Virginia. It's really... Hey, I want to change topics a little bit, though, because this involves Ron DeSantis. And the Florida Supreme Court ruled 6-1 yesterday in favor of Ron DeSantis' decision to remove another prosecutor. Did you hear about this, Andrew?
He had already removed her.
Yes,
she was trying to get back in, they said, see you later.
That's right. DeSantis had suspended State Attorney Monique Worrell back in 2023, in August, accusing her of dereliction of duty when it came to crime. This was much like, the other attorney, Andrew Warren, and he did the same thing to Andrew Warren. So
now Andrew Warren is running again, you know.
Yeah, he is. But this
he's running again.
He's running again. So as you said, Monique Worrell sued to be reinstated, arguing her removal was an arbitrary, unsubstantial exercise of the suspension power. And the Supreme Court said, Governor DeSantis can do what he just did. It was a 6-1 decision. So somewhere, George Soros is grinding his teeth. That's all I got to say about that.
I can tell you another thing Governor DeSantis did this week.
Yes, sir.
I've been in the hair business 55 years of my life. Okay, I've been a licensed barber and hairdresser for 55 years. Every 2 years when I renewed my license, I had to take another test, a five-hour course, and this, that, and everything else. It cost me $25 and da-da-da-da-da. Well, he got rid of these restrictions. He said, if you hold a license that's legal for the last 10 years in the state of Florida and you've had no restrictions put against you, you no longer have to take these courses. And he did that with about 25 different licensing programs
that's
in the
terrific.
State. Which is great.
It's absolutely great. That's exactly what we want. That's more freedom for everybody.
That's right.
We didn't have that in New York State.
I was going to ask you, Angelo. I was going to ask you about all of those restrictions in New York compared to Florida.
New York State, forget it. I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah,
we got more restrictions than everything else, you know.
Hey, I want to also get you guys going a little bit on the Hunter Biden laptop. The fake.
How come nobody's apologized for that?
There you go. Enjoy this for a moment. The fake Hunter Biden laptop narrative, pushed by a host of former Intel officials and Joe Biden himself, took a major blow earlier this week when the feds entered it into evidence in the Hunter Biden gun trial. The computer is being used to show Hunter was addicted to drugs at the time he bought a gun in 2018, which is a violation of federal law. The FBI agent Erica Jensen explained how they authenticated the laptop and extracted the data. She talked about dozens of text messages, metadata photos, short videos found on phones, and iCloud accounts belonging to the president's son. I hope all of the people on MSNBC and CNN that touted that laptop as a Russian conspiracy are now rushing to the microphone to apologize. I am still waiting. All I'm hearing is crickets.
Innocent. How about that Anthony Blinken? Is any Secretary of State?
Yes, he is.
Initiated?
Yes. He was involved.
On that thing?
Yes. Wasn't he talking about the so-called 51 experts that said that the computer or the laptop was a fake?
Right. Should he be removed as Secretary of State now?
Yeah, don't hold your breath. Election? Don't hold your breath, because it was Biden that used that as an excuse when he was debating Trump the first time around, remember?
Right. I mean, that by them doing that, they influenced an election.
Yeah.
Right? Now, shouldn't they be held accountable?
You would think so. Biden brought up that letter that was touted as saying that the laptop was a fraud. He brought up the letter during his final debate against Donald Trump, saying that the laptop was a Russian plant and a bunch of garbage. Now, he knew damn well it was real. He knew it. Talk about a liar. When they go after Donald Trump, and here's, you know, here's Biden knowingly saying in the debate that the laptop was a fraud. He said, well, all of these others say it's a fraud.
Well, then he should be held accountable for influencing that election and stealing that election.
Of course he should. And the
very simple, Paul.
But we have to keep it going and say he should be impeached for that. And he should be held accountable just like Donald Trump has been held accountable. The same for what he did.
Yeah.
But he should be held to the same damn standard.
You are. Paul, go ahead, Andrew.
It's very simple.
About it. Where's the American people that they call for social justice? Where are they?
Well, I'm going to have to get a sock for him.
That's all right. He said, look, he's got a lot to say. Go ahead, Andrew. Go ahead, Andrew.
Listen, it's simple, put down, broken down very easy. Trump was right again. Hunter Biden will be innocent.
You think they're going to find him innocent? No.
Watch and see.
Yeah, no.
Hunter Biden will be innocent, and Trump was right again.
Angelo, is Hunter Biden going to be found innocent by that jury?
Oh, yeah, he'll be found innocent due to being on cocaine, not knowing what he was doing. Blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah.
In other words, it's called jury nullification. No matter
you
even,
got it.
No matter if the truth is right in front of them.
I told you Trump was going to be found guilty, right? I'm telling you the same thing. Hunter Biden's going to be found innocent.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, between you, me, and the gatepost, I don't necessarily think they should toss Hunter Biden into jail for the crime. I think he should have to pay a price for it. I don't think necessarily have to be incarcerated. In other words, I'm not seeking a pound of flesh out of Hunter Biden.
I think community service.
Yeah,
park benches. Paint the park benches for a year.
Yeah, I'm talking about this particular charge, not some of the other ones coming up, but this particular charge. Go ahead, Angelo.
But you know, you have a choice to take the drugs or not to take the drugs.
I'm not saying he shouldn't be found guilty and pay a price. I'm just saying I don't think they should necessarily toss him in jail.
Well, here's what happened here in New York State. Several years ago, we had a person kill an EMS technician. And a police officer. The gun was purchased by a friend of his, and it was called a straw purchase, right, on that form 2243. I forget the form number, but anyway, she's in jail now for falsifying that form, right? Now, she can be in jail. Hunter Biden should be in jail.
I see what you're saying.
The guy's last name wasn't Biden.
Yeah.
Well, right. But the
That's
thing
simple.
Is, like I said, these people... They influenced the election by lying about that laptop. They lied about he lied about that form on that form. You know, I mean, I purchased firearms. I've had to fill out their.
Yeah,
form
but in one case, and I'm not arguing for Hunter Biden. I think he's a slime ball. But in one case, somebody died. In this particular case, you know, the guy's out of his head on cocaine, and he's getting a gun. Anyway, I do understand how you feel about it, though. There's unequal justice when it comes to the Bidens.
In this country, there is. Right now, with Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, the Bidens, there's been no justice whatsoever. Mm-hmm. None whatsoever. And they keep influencing the elections in this country. I mean, something's got to happen. I mean, when is it going to stop?
Yeah.
When are the
Revolt.
American people going to take a stand?
Well, hopefully in November. That's what we're hoping for.
Revolt. I call for a revolt.
Okay.
50 million march on Washington.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Hey, guys. Love you. Thanks for being with us. We'll be talking with you next week.
I gotta come down there and visit you guys.
Have a good weekend.
We're looking forward to it. Thanks, Angelo. Thanks, Andrew.
You're welcome.
All right.
Have a good one.
All right. There they go. All right. Let's take our break. When we come back, the top 10 most dangerous metro areas if you're a walker.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal. You get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
For years, we've been telling you that Andrew's Master Barbershop is the premier men's barbershop in Tampa Bay. Tops in great haircuts, tops in price. Well, now that it's summertime, Andrew and the gang have brand new hours. They're now open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6 p.m. Again, that's Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 6. So give them a try, man. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street. Call first for your appointment, guys. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Friday, final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. Always glad when you can tune in. However, if you're not available to tune in live, thanks to Big Ed, all you need to do to hear any of our shows is to go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on podcast at the top of that website page. Ed's got all our shows on podcast, on tape. You can select the show you would like to listen to. He has the most recent shows first. You'll see who the guest is. You'll see what the topic is with the guest, and you'll see what our top 10 is. OurFreedomWorks.com. So, Ed, you'll get a kick out of this. Mark Fitzpatrick, he owns a bar called the Old State Saloon, in Idaho. He has announced he's kicking off what he calls Heterosexual Awesomeness Month. Have you heard about this? His salute to heterosexuality. He'll give discounts and free beer for heterosexual men, women, and couples throughout the month. He said, I was thinking of a way that we could celebrate the other side of sexuality, heterosexuality, the way God designed it. And that's kind of where I'm at with people that support us and are like-minded. So we decided to do Heterosexual Awesome this month and then launched it. And boy, oh boy, did it take off, he said. Though we acknowledge receiving crass and rude messages online and phone calls, he said that for the most part, the public reaction has been overwhelmingly positive. You know, it's kind of scary in a way because, you know, this is also, as we know, this is Gay Pride Month, which is a big deal here.
It's his bar.
It's his bar. Yeah, he can do it. That's the point, you know.
Get any promotion you want these days, as long as you're not, you know, as long as it's not over the top, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
So we'll see how that goes. Very interesting.
I wonder if there's been any resistance to it.
He has had some resistance.
Oh, really?
Yes, he's had some criticism.
I mean,
you know he's going to get there. But he's in Idaho, and you know Idaho is a pretty conservative state.
But it's probably labeled as homophobic.
Yeah, a little bit.
Probably.
Possibly so. Okay. It is time. Before we get into our top 10, Ed, is there anything in the sports world that we need to know about? Everything
Rays.
With the Rays, okay.
Rays were off yesterday. They won 2 against Miami. Whoopee.
Oh, wow.
So
how about the crowds?
Yeah.
In those kinds of games.
Dwindling a little bit because they're at 500 right now.
They're at 500, the Rays?
Yeah, their record's 500.
Okay.
I think Baltimore comes to town tonight. Yeah.
They need to have my White Sox play them more often. That'll bring them up.
Well, no. Well, remember, we swept them, then they swept us.
There you go. Okay, Ed, over to the drums. The top 10 most dangerous U.S. metro areas for pedestrians. This report includes pedestrian fatality statistics and ranks the largest metro areas. All are too dangerous. As with the earlier edition of this report, they examine a 5-year period. This is from 2018 to 2022. Okay. So here we go, though. Top 10 most dangerous U.S. metro areas for pedestrians. Number 10. Little Rock, Arkansas. Yes, indeed. 3.63 fatalities per 100,000 people in 2022. Don't go to Little Rock, my friends. Number 9. Charleston, North Carolina. No, I'm sorry, South Carolina. Charleston, South Carolina. 3.66 pedestrians killed per 100,000. Number 8. Ed, listen to this. Number 8 is Tampa, St. Pete.
Yeah. Yeah, believe it or not. Yeah,
I'm not surprised. It's dangerous around here, my friend.
That whole Baywalk. No, is it Baywalk?
Is it Baywalk? Bayfront?
Bayfront. Area, whatever it is.
In Tampa.
Yeah. In Tampa, yeah.
3.75 fatalities per 100,000. Number 7. Fresno, California. 3.89 fatalities per 100,000. A tie for number 5. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And Daytona Beach, Florida. Baton Rouge and Daytona Beach, 3.96 per 100,000.
Well, Daytona has a lot of pedestrians, you know, that walk the beach and stuff. So.
Yeah, well, they're not going to get hit by a beer truck on the beach, are they?
Well, they allow cars on the beach.
Oh, you're right. They still drive along the beach.
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, okay. You're right about that. Number 4, Bakersfield, California. Bakersfield, that's in, I think, Southern California. It's 3.99 deaths per 100,000. Number 3, Tucson. Good old Tucson, Arizona. Be careful in Tucson. Not only snakes, but cars and trucks. 4.16 deaths per 100,000. Number 2. Now, I'm surprised at this one. I don't know why. New Mexico and Albuquerque, New Mexico, they always show up on the bad side. I wonder why. You know, when we do these top tens and we have bad things going on, somehow New Mexico always pops up. 4.83 deaths per 100,000 in Albuquerque, New Mexico. All right, Ed, where do you think, what city, what metro area do you think, and I'll give you a hint on this one. It's in the South.
Go with Mississippi. Look at everything else was bad.
Okay,
there.
You got to name a town. You want to name a major city then? Okay, we'll just use Mississippi. You're off by one state. It's right next door. It's Tennessee. Memphis, Tennessee is number 1. Listen to this. 5.14 pedestrian deaths per 100,000 people in Memphis. I used to live there as a little boy.
Huh.
Poor old Memphis. All right. Thank you so very much for listening. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. Drive carefully, walk carefully, so that we'll talk to you on Monday. And remember, freedom works.